Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to D'Amico Ryans and what he had to say about C.J. Stroud's shoulder a little later on this hour. He did talk on some other things, though, as we welcome you into the 7 o'clock hour here on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Okay, a lot of talk about C.J. Stroud, but Seth, Christian Harris missed a lot of last season.
A lot of last season.
Remember how it seemed like really excited Christian Harris was just before training camp last year to kind of get things popping, get things going.
Yeah.
In his third year, coming off a really good second year, you know?
He was doing an interview I think he did one with Aaron Wilson like a week before training camp about how great shape he was in. There might have been some clips of him working out in there. And then all of a sudden on the first day of camp, got about 15, 20 minutes into it, and we were looking around, and I think I asked you, like, where's Christian Harris? Have you seen Christian Harris? And nobody had seen Christian Harris.
Yeah, I looked at you. I said, not my day to watch him. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
But don't worry. It was no big deal. Okay?
Right.
That was, and Aaron Wilson reported on it first, I think, but other people were told, this is just something minor, just a soft tissue thing. It's really no big deal.
Yeah.
So likewise, as I got all of the cool wannabe jabronis out there telling me, I don't know why you're so worried about C.J. Stroud not throwing right now. It's not the regular season yet. It's because I've been through this before.
Yeah. Yep.
In less than a calendar year, okay?
Yeah. So we haven't seen Christian Harris yet during OTAs. Here was D'Amico Ryans when asked about Christian Harris yesterday.
Yeah, Christian is working hard, and he'll be ready to roll for training camp.
All right. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Good. Yeah, he'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
Pretty similar to what we heard about Christian Harris all last year. Yeah. The Astros and the Texans are they're dead to me when it comes to expecting any kind of actual information or anything other than fluff when it comes to whether guys are going to be. I remember hearing about Christian Javier, how great he was feeling 2 days before he got his UCL operated on. So that's where we are. I accept zero good news from them ever again. Ever.
Ever. Ever. Okay.
I'm not expecting Christian Harris to play this year.
This year.
Yeah. And I think CJ's probably going to have his arm amputated sometime in July. Probably about where we are.
Hopefully he can get another arm attached, you know, a fake arm, magic arm maybe. That would be great.
They're doing great things, with genetics these days.
I did like this answer from D'Amico Ryans yesterday. I thought this was interesting. He was asked about the offensive line room and how it's doing so far. Very new offensive line room. New offensive line coach. New offensive coordinator. A lot of new faces. Draft pick and Ariante Ursary and some vets they brought in. How are things gelling in the O-line room?
our offensive line, the mindset, I see it drastically changing. I see Coach Cole Popovich, his instant impact on those guys, you can see it from the way they work in their individual drills, the way they come off the line with low pass. It's just the small technique things that you see, how they're dialed in on their hand placement, just speaking the same language. One of the coolest things I've seen when we were working out in phase two, we work out, we activate our guys here in the bubble, and we all travel outside to do our different drills. And to see the O-line come out, and whoever was out first, they waited on the other guys. And they waited, they joined together as a group, and then they traveled down to the opposite end of the field to do their position work. So that just shows me that togetherness, that connection that I truly believe in. You want to be a great unit, you have to be connected. So Cole has kind of spurred that connection, that intensity, the mentality that I'm looking for, and we have that. We have the intangibles of what it takes. Now we just got to go out and get it done when we put pads on.
That's I enjoyed that a lot, because the mentality of the offensive line needs to be very much five fingers in a glove, all of that, one for all for one, yada yada yada. And last year, the culture of the offensive line for a few years now has felt like a bunch of independent operators out there kind of doing their own thing. Hey, my PFF pass protection grade's all right. That's all I got to worry about, you know? Screw these other guys.
Yeah.
And that's the one position, the one unit on the field that really needs to have the most cohesion. So I did like that. I also, as a defensive lineman, I'm listening to him, and I'm kind of taking it from, like, sounds like they're scared. Sounds like they're scared that Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter is going to get one of them on their way out to practice. So they're like, hey, guys, stay together as a group, okay? Don't get separated from the group. Yeah, Danielle Hunter might try to hit a Euro step on you, and we don't want you to have to face it alone.
Will Anderson.
The other fun thing about the O-line moving as a group together is that the defensive line gets to yell things like,
"Moo!" Oh, they're cows. Is that happens?
A little bit, yeah. Or a beep, beep, beep. Yeah.
Oh, the big trucks.
Old fatties moving around like a herd.
I love that.
It's easier to do that when you run a 4-3 than when you run a 3-4.
Yes.
Because on a 3-4, most of the defensive linemen are a little bit up there.
They could be the big 18-wheelers, too.
That was one thing. We don't have the clip right here, but he had talked about Tim Settle at one point.
Oh.
And speaking of defensive linemen, he said the biggest thing he had to work on, we don't have to play it, was last year coming in, was he needed to lose weight.
Yeah, he's conditioning, yeah.
Yeah, and remember, he missed a good chunk of training camp. And that he's working on his hands. But there is, for a guy that's been in the league for a few years already, there is a weird dynamic there where it does feel like he's got a lot of upside. And especially maybe in this defense that, boy, he did some really good things last year.
He made plays last year, man, no doubt about that. So I liked hearing that about the O-line. Do you think that cut we just played about the O-line, do you think D'Amico has a thinly veiled shot at last year's O-line in him, or is that just him looking forward and saying he likes this group?
I do think, if you look at Popovich and Nick Caley, I feel like, and it's hazardous reading way too much into this stuff, but this is OTAs and this is what we have. There's a more blue-collar feel to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just more of an old ball coach type of feel to those guys in a lot of ways. And yes, I like, especially for the offensive line, I like that. And I don't know, there was no, there's no identity to that. There hasn't been an identity to that offensive line for a long, long time.
The part for me, I hope Cole Popovich works out. The reports are good so far. We played some audio from Rob Ninkovich up in New England. He was well thought of up there. I hope it works. I mean, the offensive line is what, if we're looking to power rank blame on what held this team back last year, I put the offensive line at the top of the list. When I hear that rave review about Cole Popovich, there is a part of me like, okay, the guy that you kept around last year was thinking about retiring. Now, maybe they didn't know that. You know, maybe I'm talking about Chris Strauser. You know, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, if Cole Popovich is like, water under the bridge.
The version I heard was that they had talked him into coming back.
Okay, well, then that
exacerbates. I don't know if that's true or not.
If that were true, that exacerbates the point that I'm making here, which is, all right, well, would have been nice. You should have made the move last year. It's water under the bridge again. Like, you can't. It's hindsight. It's 2020.
Yeah.
But I get frustrated when I think about last year's offensive line and what the potential might have been for this team had they just protected C.J. Stroud and opened up running lanes at an average level. Not at a great level, at an average level. They might beat the Kansas City Chiefs and have played in the AFC title game last year.
The other thing about the offensive line, and maybe this is just coincidence, but man, it seems to be a theme. If you look at the offensive tackles that they acquired in the offseason, they're massive human beings.
Yeah.
Cam Robinson is 6'6", 335. Ariante Ursary is 6'6", 335. Trent Brown is 6'17" or something.
Blocks out
and
the sun.
Yeah, right. I think length and size and mass seems to be a priority for them. And I like that too. You got to execute it properly. I told Sean Bajani yesterday, it is when you face an offensive line that's just massive, you feel it, you know, and you know it and you realize it. The Ravens, when they first won their Super Bowl, they had all these guys. They had Jonathan Ogden. They had Orlando Brown Sr. Yeah. They had a bunch of interior offensive line that were massive dudes. And like as a group like that, there's something to it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got to play well and you got to be coached and everything. But if you want to establish an identity, just simply leaning on people with 17 or 1800 pounds of mass goes a long way.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt about that. All right, this is another good one that I liked. You know, we're going to circle back to CJ Stroud, but there were some things that came out of D'Amico Ryan's press conference yesterday that did get me excited. The offensive line cut that we just played is definitely one of them. This is where he's talking about, he was asked about a question about minicamp. Mandatory minicamp is coming up next week. What will the goal be? He said, same as the OTAs, but I like that he mentions the two rookie wide receivers here.
For our entire process throughout the OTAs, for me, the mini camp doesn't change anything. Like, it's still the same process. Can you see continued growth from the guys? And it just reminds me of last year, like some rookies, like Kamari and Kalen, watching them last year in these settings, watching how they competed, watching how they just, their impact showed instantly. They showed up, they were making plays, and you see how those guys performed throughout the season. So I think we have a similar situation this year with some of the rookie wide receivers and Noel and Higgins, just seeing their immediate impact on our offense, the plays that they're making, like seeing the way they work, the way they compete. I'm hoping that translates to the season as well. Similar to Kamari and Kalen, I think Jalen and Jaden are two guys who can really help us out this year.
I like that cut a lot. Because I don't think D'Amico at OTAs would just throw that around out there.
Right. Well, we saw that with Kamari especially last year. They don't shy away from either praising or giving playing time to rookies if they feel like they're ready. And there was another clip where he talked about Kamari as well, but just talking about how polished he was and that he didn't even have to coach him very much because he was so good. You know, with Bullock, it was different. And you could see the difference. Bullock was more raw. It wasn't that he wasn't working hard or anything. He was just more raw. Kamari Lassiter was a lot more polished, and they didn't shy away from putting him out there with the ones and leaning into any success he was having early in the process. I was kind of shocked by it myself.
Yeah.
But the proof is in the pudding. They're not going to – it's the opposite of Bill O'Brien. They're not going to waste time assuming that every rookie is an idiot and doesn't know anything. Because that's dumb. You got the guy in the best – if you have a good player on your team, and it's the cheapest he'll ever be when he's a good player.
Yes.
And O'Brien's philosophy was almost like, well, nope. They're going to really, really earn it if they want to play in year one.
Yeah, there you
go. Yeah, yeah.
They don't know anything.
So, instead, I think D'Amico really tries to evaluate guys for what they are, and you forget whether they're rookies or anything else. You just, what can this guy do for the team right
now?
Dude,
4 years, which is, that's what a rookie contract is. 4 years. That goes by so fast. So fast. You know what I mean? We're halfway through CJ and Will in that class right now. If you can't burn daylight trying to impose a narrative about rookies. You got to get them on the field if they can play.
And it's true. Football is the sport where it feels like it takes the longest time for coaches to really move on from the old ways.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of the mentality about rookies comes from pre-free agency back in the 80s where you would get a rookie and you were going to, if you wanted to, he'd be on your team for the next 15 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you could send him off to basic training and, and not worry about him, you know? It's just, the times have changed. You want to get as much as possible out of these guys.
This may be the cut you were talking about. I think he mentions Kamari in this one. This is D'Amico Ryan's asked if there are certain position groups that are easier for rookies to wrap their head around.
Every position has its own set of challenges. When it comes to expectations, nobody can exceed low expectations. So for me, it's always about having high expectations. That's why we do what we do. We're in the top of the top when it comes to sports. NFL is the best of the best. So if you want to compete, you want to improve each day, you show up and work the right way. You follow Will Anderson, you follow Kamari, like you follow Petrie, Stingley, those guys, like you're gonna improve and you're gonna figure it out.
I would rank the positions in hardest to learn. Ooh. As a rookie.
Yeah.
I might say, and there's exceptions to this, are guys that just do a really good job of adjusting to it. Quarterback, obviously.
Yeah.
Cornerback, because there's so much more about anticipation and understanding where your help is, all that, like understanding. Almost as the good cornerbacks, their brains kind of operate like quarterbacks in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Slot receiver.
Yes.
Slot receiver is just, again, you have to think like a quarterback. I guess that's the test, is how many of the guys have to kind of think like a quarterback. Slot receivers have to think like a quarterback because they got to adjust to coverages and read coverages and anticipate blitzes and all of that. Offensive tackle, obviously. So when a guy like Kamari Lassiter comes in and plays really well as a rookie and made a lot of improvement as the year went along, it's hard not to get excited about what he's going to do with an entire offseason and build on what he started last year. Because he did... His first half of the season last year, you know, he had some classic rookie mistakes. He was overly aggressive at times. He bit on double moves, all that. And he ironed a lot of it out of his game in the second half of the season.
The people whose opinions I respect have said Kamari Lassiter he's had very good OTA sessions. And Nick Caseria on this show brought up Kamari Lassiter unprompted. Kamari Lassiter and Ladarius Henderson as the two guys that had made kind of the biggest body changes in the weight room in the offseason. Like, Kamari's been getting after it since, you know, the end of last season in the building over there.
Yeah.
According to all the
reports. I like Kamari and, like, Derek Stingley. The football psycho factor. Mm-hmm. Like, the guys that are just gym rats and just absolutely love football and just want to soak everything in. Kamari, Derek Stingley, Will Anderson,
Petrie,
Danielle Hunter, Petrie.
Yeah.
A lot of guys in the secondary. Like, and it's not just fake Instagram hustle.
No.
You can tell by the way they operate and when they talk, they're not trying to put out the best Instagram version of it. Like,
no.
They just genuinely, they're just wired for it. They've done a great job of identifying those types of guys since O'Brien came, or since D'Amico and Caserio teamed up. I mean, in the past, with various coaches, they would talk about how they want high-character guys on their team, and I'd look at them, and I'm like, these guys are soft nerds. Like, yeah, you don't have to worry about them getting arrested, but what the hell?
Right.
That's not football character. That's trying to get a merit badge or something for saying yes, sir, and no, sir.
Yeah.
Like, give me a guy that just lives and breathes football.
I'd throw Aziz in there, too, on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, there's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I would miss a bunch of them.
Yeah,
but, yeah, there's just kind of a passion for it.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're trying to get to on the offensive side of the ball, especially in the offensive line room, for sure.
Be like if you're, you know, they used to do those, these computer programmers, these guys that write code. It's almost like the bare minimum is they want guys that'll be able to sit down and code for 36 hours straight.
Yes.
While drinking an ungodly and unhealthy amount of Red Bull.
Yep.
Like, that's, I feel like these guys would all be good code writers.
They
could write code. Yes.
With vats of Red Bull in front of them, just staying up all night doing it. I hear you. Text message, what's up with Christian Harris? Oh, you weren't listening?
Nobody knows.
This is what's up with him right here. Yeah.
Christian is working hard, and he'll be ready to roll for training camp.
Yeah. Why are you asking? You must have just missed that cut, Texter. That's what's going on.
Nobody knows what's going on with Christian Harris.
Nothing. He's still working hard.
He's got a soft tissue. This is one thing I'd like them to do.
He's going to be ready to go, Seth. He just said it. He's going to be ready to go. It's fine.
I need them to abolish soft tissue. It's caused me nothing but harm. It's caused nothing but emotional trauma in my career as a sports fan.
We'll vote for the candidate that gets rid of soft tissue.
I'm so tired of it. Yeah.
Soft tissue injuries? No, no, no. Soft tissue altogether. There'll be no more soft tissue. Not in my country.
What does a human being like? There's an episode of The Family Guy where Peter Griffin, either a genie or somebody granted him, his wish was to be made of stained glass. So he was... He was sitting at the breakfast table, and they're like, "Dad, what the hell's going on?" And then all of a sudden, the sun rose and it shone through him.
Genius!
And it looked like a heavenly display. Yeah.
Oh my God. Peter Griffin. You got to stop bringing up Family Guy during the breaks, man. You ruined me during the break. I don't know that we can tell
you. Oh, you're searching the clip I was talking about. I can't even tell you the clip I was talking about.
Yeah, no, it's not appropriate. Yeah. All right, so the cut that has everybody talking this morning about Texans OTAs was yesterday. D'Amico Ryan's, and Ben, maybe we do the whole thing here. If you got D'Amico one, we'll play that. We'll play the preamble and the follow-up question. Here was D'Amico Ryan's at the beginning of yesterday's press conference following OTAs, talking about C.J. Stroud, who for the third consecutive practice did not throw.
First off, I know everybody's going to ask, first is C.J. not throwing again. There's no concerns with C.J. It's just general soreness. We're taking extra precaution with him, but he'll be good to go. No concerns on my end there. Really excited the way our guys are working and competing out at practice. When you see a good team, what excites me is you're seeing both sides make plays. Offense, defense, there's a lot of back and forth, guys making plays. So really excited to see where our team are here in our second week of practicing. They're really growing, developing, taking the steps we need to take, and it's fun to watch. For CJ, it'll be, like I said, he has general soreness, and we're just taking extra precaucs with him. When he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
General, you have any work on his shoulder in the offense?
Oh, hang on, we'll play that one.
That
we'll play that one in a second. So that's the preamble right there. That's the general soreness, which is the new discomfort.
Which is reasonable if you're just trying to ramp him up slowly. Yeah. He's kind of sore. Maybe he'd overdone it in some off-season workouts or something like that. And I was cool. I had come to a place where I hoped that was the situation.
Yeah. Until,
and I don't know if I was buying completely the vague statement that D'Amico gave, but this follow-up question is what got me.
Yeah.
Do you have any work on his shoulder in the offseason?
That's it for CJ, guys. On the questions, that's it. When I said that's it for him, like, it's general soreness, and we're taking extra precaution with him. We're not going to rush him into anything. He'll be fine. When the moment is for him to be ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
If you're trying to say it's no big deal, it feels like one of the easiest things to say is, it wasn't surgery or anything else like that. It's just general soreness. Yeah. That makes sense. General soreness without, it sounds to me like, oh yeah, it's like, yeah, classic. I went a little too hard this weekend or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. My gut, with zero inside information on this, my gut tells me, okay, my initial response was, oh, he totally had surgery in the off season. Now that's my gut reaction. I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And it wouldn't honestly bother me that much because guys have surgeries all the time. It wouldn't concern me, except for now I feel like he had surgery theoretically, and they're refusing to tell me about it, which then makes my feeble brain start going to places like, are they trying to trade for Kirk Cousins now? And they got to be sure that nobody knows how badly they want
right.
Kirk. Yeah, you call up Atlanta and you're like, listen, guys, we totally get it why you want a veteran quarterback paired up with a younger quarterback the way you guys did.
Yeah.
We're just following your lead.
That's
CJ injured? Oh, no. That's just general discomfort.
We're not desperate at all. We're just...
No, do you smell desperation over the phone? No, that
of course
couldn't
not.
Be further from the... I know I called you seven times to inquire about this.
Of course
this,
not, Yeah, I just like to me that it took the third practice to address this is just that's a look like you're trying to hide something, you know. It's
and CJ hasn't been up at the podium. Now he was earlier. He was earlier in the offseason.
Yes.
So I don't know, man. It's just weird. I would prefer not to be talking about this, and yet I have no choice to because I am concerned. Everybody. Sorry, all of you are too cool to worry about whether your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, has a sore shoulder or not.
Should I Pender poll this? Are people concerned? Just in general, are people concerned
about
this?
That. Are you concerned about CJ's shoulder?
Yeah. Okay.
Simple yes or no.
Yep.
To answer a lot of questions we continue to get, some people are wondering, hey, is this some kind of a contract holdout or negotiation? No, because he's not even eligible to get any kind of tweaks to his contract until next offseason. Other people have said, well, maybe he's upset with the structure of the offensive line or whatever. Like, listen, we know... I would be incredibly surprised if that was the issue because, for one, it's not like nervousness over the offensive line is going to keep him from getting out there in OTAs or training camp where nobody's allowed to touch him.
Right.
But, that's the least likely scenario in my mind is that he's somehow disgruntled. The thing that makes the most sense is that he's just got general soreness. And to me, it feels like probably had some kind of a procedure. Yep. That's just my feel.
Yep.
He shot a three-pointer. He was shooting three-pointers at DreamCon on Saturday. But that's something, honestly, that you could be – I could see you being cleared to shoot a basketball before being cleared to throw a football after a shoulder surgery.
Yep.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I text in 713-572-4610 if you want to weigh in on that. So I was up in Boston this weekend, Seth. Went up to New Hampshire for the Zach Brown Band show. Came back through Boston. Saw my daughter, went to a Red Sox game on Monday, talked to a lot of people up in the Boston area, all right?
So, yeah. You got scuttlebutt about how they feel about Houston and how wrong they are?
This very hoodie that I'm wearing on the YouTube and Twitch stream, I wore to the Red Sox game. They didn't give me any trouble, probably because they were scared. You know, they're like, well, I'm not going to mess. Normally, I'm not going to mess with that guy in the Houston hoodie right there. It was weird being up there, though, because there were several stories going on Boston-related that had legit ties to Houston. Like, it was probably the top one, which is crazy to say because Bregman's out with an injury. Bregman was probably number two. You couldn't turn your head anywhere that had a TV in it and had some sort of sports talk on the TV, local sports talk, where they were not talking about Stephon Diggs and the possibility of the Patriots cutting him before his career even gets out of first gear up in New England. It was wild.
And before, I always forget to bring this up. There's evidence for this, and we're going to play the Scott Zolak audio that a lot of you have heard, but that people will say, well, wait a second, he's got a bunch of guaranteed money. Could they even cut him? He doesn't officially have the guaranteed money yet. He doesn't, even though he practiced yesterday and everything, he's got to pass a full physical to be cleared or whatever it might be. So there are ways for them to get out of a lot of that guaranteed money.
Oh, dude, the lawyers that would get involved in that. Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So this is Scott Zolak, who was a quarterback for the Patriots back in the day and now is their color commentator on game days, but also has his midday radio show. Scott Zolak on how he's feeling about the situation.
Do you think Diggs should be cut?
Do I think he should be cut?
Yeah, you.
No, I don't.
I do not.
I came to this show yesterday with the opinion, not opinion, but the knowledge of that it is on the table. That it is being thought of. And it's not just the boat. It's not just the boat. There's some other things that I've heard. That's all. Okay. That puts some things in question. Are you all in? Are you all in here?
All right, so that... Go ahead.
So the boat situation, I think most people know, the him passing out a pink powdery substance, like that's one thing, one piece of the pie. There's also a report that he's in danger of losing $500,000 from his base salary for not rehabbing at the team facility.
Yep.
He hasn't been at the team facility and said rehabbing in Miami. So it just, it sounds like there's feelings that, all right, he's not all in. And whatever Mike Vrabel's version of the Patriots way, surprise, surprise, Diggs might be closer to the version of 2023 Stephon Diggs than he was in 2024, where he was the model of citizenry in Houston.
And that's where I wanted to go with this. Maybe I'm reaching on this a little bit, but this whole saga of Stephon Diggs over the last few weeks with New England, having to watch Vrabel stand up there at a podium and address
I'm sorry, real quick, that's Trayvon Diggs. Apologies. That wasn't Stephon, that was Trayvon Diggs I was talking about.
With the passing the physical
in danger of losing his, in danger of losing his
$500,000. Gotcha. Okay.
Damn Diggs brothers.
His Diggs brothers, yeah. That's 6-1, half a dozen. Maybe I'm reaching here. Watching Diggs... Diggs is clearly, to some degree, treating the Patriots organization with some level of disrespect here. You know, that he's skipping mandatory things and he's allowing videos. He's putting himself in a position where there's videos of him getting hit on by these boat models out there and handing something to them. There's a second video that surfaced as well that had people concerned on the internet, or concerned if you're a Patriot fan, I suppose. It makes me feel better about the version of Diggs that they got here in Houston, that there was some level of respect for the Texans organization that clearly doesn't exist for the Patriots organization. And it's funny, we were at the airport yesterday, Amy and I were up in Boston, and in one of the bars we were at, they had NESN, which is their version of Space City Home Network. Mm-hmm. They had NESN on TV, and there's a daytime talk show on there. I don't know if it's simulcast on radio or whatever, but it's two guys talking about the topics of the day. And the caption at the bottom of the screen... They're talking about Diggs, and it says, reports from Buffalo are that no one is surprised about recent Stephon Diggs drama. And I had to laugh at that because, remember, when he got traded here, Buffalo people could not stop pelting us on our social media pages. Like, just wait, wait. And that version of Diggs never showed up here. And the one they were telling us to just wait for, the Texans got a very, very – I mean, they made him a captain of the team. There's no chance he's a captain of the Patriots coming up here.
And he wasn't at the first couple OTAs last year, and Buffalo people were like, oh, here we go again, and ended up being no big deal at all because just it was classic whatever. He'd gotten traded and everything.
Yeah.
The even Florio, when he first brought up the possibility of – when he first talked about Zolak saying there's a chance he could get cut – I got angry because Florio said, look at what happened in Minnesota and then look at what happened in Buffalo. And then he kind of paused. And I think in his mind, it looked like he was like, oh yeah, Texans, it didn't seem like they're an issue. So this is who he's been his entire career.
Yes. Yeah.
No, he wasn't like this in Houston.
No.
Although he was in a contract year.
He was. In Houston. That is true. He signed a 3-year deal with the Patriots. That's a good point. Second biggest story that Boston people brought up, and especially with me wearing my Houston thing at the Red Sox game, was Bregman. And I actually had a couple Red Sox fans near me ask about Bregman. They're like, hey, this sounds like the opposite of what we were getting. We thought we were getting a guy who started slow, but he was really durable. This is sort of the opposite. Like, he was really good, and now he's got this quad injury. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. No, you're absolutely right.
Thanks for the update, champ.
Thanks, Sully. He normally has like a 692 OPS right now, but boy, he's out there every day. It's really interesting to me, Seth, like how just like nondescript and bland the Red Sox have become. Like, it's It's Rafael, without Bregman, it's Rafael Devers and a bunch of guys that you have to be a Red Sox fan to know who the hell they are, or a really immersed baseball fan. I'm like, man, I don't recognize any of these guys. You know, like it's, I mean, a couple of them, obviously. I mean, they played the Red Sox and things like that, but boy, it is a, that is a bland, that is a definition of mediocre baseball right
what
there.
What are they worried that Bregman's going to opt out, or do they assume that Bregman's going to opt out after he, as long as he comes back healthy?
They are,
and
the
all
ones
that.
I talked to are worried about. They really like Bregman. They're appropriately worried about it. You know, this quad injury is an outlier for what Bregman's been the last few years. Like he's been he's been playing.
Bregman's not currently playing baseball, and his numbers look a lot better than Isak Paredes, but Paredes was available to hit a home run last night.
He was.
Whereas Alex Bregman would not have been available.
He's not. And Paredes is getting closer. He's closing the gap. But yeah, there's
best ability is availability, Sean.
Yeah, you're right. It's true. Distant third, because we got chit-chatting about a lot of things, was the Rockets as a trade partner for the Celtics trying to offload all these amazingly bloated contracts that they have.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, this guy played for Ime, and this guy played for Ime, and this guy even played for Ime for $28 million a year or $35 million a year or whatever.
Did anybody mention anything about Udoka himself?
Udoka up there. The ones I talked to really like Udoka up there, which is weird.
Did they feel like he got shafted in his exodus or anything like that?
The ones I talked to, they didn't think he should have been fired.
Yeah.
But they've won a championship with Missoula, so they're
right,
like, that's why
it's not,
this is a distant third.
It's not as clear and present,
It's a distant third. So
it's academic for them in that
regard. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. okay. Text message talking about the media peppering DeMeco with questions about CJ Stroud.
Yeah, and it was a pretty light peppering.
It was, yes. Feels like when your kids won't stop asking the same thing, DeMeco probably has a short fuse about it.
Yeah. Like,
Are we there yet? Yeah.
And they didn't. That was about as gentle as it gets. I mean, a couple of people told me, like, the media is out of control. Everything he was going to say. I was like, was it Will Kunkel that asked the question? It sounded like it might have been Will Kunkel. Will Kunkel just asked, did he have a procedure in the offseason? If you think that's out of line or that that's going too far, you need to just go live in a cushioned room somewhere and avoid all contact with anybody ever. That was about as light as it gets. And that was the end of it, too.
Yep.
You know, like, he just gave it. Like, that was very, very fair.
It was tame.
And it was something that, if there wasn't a surgery, it would have been easy to include in. If CJ had met, like, okay, if DeMeco had mentioned a surgery or something, or lack thereof, in his opening statement, then, all right, then, Will shouldn't have asked that question. But he didn't.
Right.
So the very reasonable follow-up is, did he have a procedure?
100%, especially since DeMeco did disclose what body part it is, and it's a body part that CJ Stroud has, A, struggled with injuries before, and B, you know, like, he got tattooed in that Chiefs game to end the season. Like, he was limping around. He was slow getting up. Like, he ended the season having to be peeled off the field practically. You're right. It was a totally fair question to ask. 100%.
And C, quarterbacks use their shoulders quite a bit.
That's a great point. Yes. Now that, come to think of it, they do.
Really, ever since they legalized the forward pass, in my opinion,
they use their shoulders.
The shoulder became a really vital part for a quarterback. Yeah.
That's a great, great point. There's a text message. We gave Stroud all this credit for being quiet from media stuff and not going to the Pro Bowl. Ugh, maybe he was hurt, and that's why he didn't do any of the media this offseason.
He's been laying in a full body cast somewhere. We've seen him around. He's done a few appearances here and there.
Yeah,
he's shooting basketballs, no big deal.
He's met with the media, to your point. They put Will and CJ out there for the media at the beginning of offseason workouts back in the middle of April. So he's been out there for sure. This is an indication of how good Nick is reducing the contract to 1 year when Diggs arrived. Talking about Diggs.
Oh, well, I stood up for Nick in that because a lot of people were upset about that. And I think that Nick does a good job of this, of separating, like, maybe the way you think things should be versus how they are. And with a guy like Stephon Diggs, if you trade for him and he's on a contract that he already wasn't really happy about in Buffalo, there's gonna be drama after that season. So they recognized it for what it was, which is let's get the absolute best out of Stephon Diggs, and behaviorally especially, that probably includes just give him a one-year deal where he can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And if he gets here and he's on his best behavior, which he was, last year behaviorally for Stephon Diggs, it felt like Albert Haynesworth's contract year back in the day. It was like where all of a sudden, any given underperforming player on the field, when all of a sudden they have this incredible year and like, oh gosh, give him a 6-year, $100 million contract, they turn back into themselves. Diggs, it felt like behaviorally that was his Albert Haynesworth year.
Well, because it wasn't even the absence of what we've seen going on in New England. It was the fact that watching him operate at training camp, I'm like, man, they're going to miss this guy next year.
Tutelage and all of that. He was guy after tough losses. He was the guy saying, hey, everybody stay focused that.
He's got it in him. Just not in New England, apparently. It was boat trips, man.
It was kind of like when, remember when all of a sudden Carlos Correa became such a great leader his free agency year?
Yes.
It was like he was out on every mound visit and everything and pointing out to people what a great leader he was and all that.
Hyping up the pitchers on the mound. Even when the pitcher's like, I don't even need hyping up. What are you doing here? It's like, just
remember
shush.
When he discovered Cam Smith?
Post Pena. Remember that?
Oh, Pena. Yeah, I meant Pena.
It was Pena.
Yeah.
I was telling the organization forever, like, oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right. Kelly Eco has a long piece on the Rockets, where they're at with the offseason. The appetite for Kevin Durant varies among Rocket fans and media. But if what Kelly is reporting is true here, my appetite is getting a little bit more hungry for Kevin Durant. We've got an interesting Eco Nuggets coming up next here from the Athletics.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
There. All right, so Kelly Eco of The Athletic does a really good job covering the Rockets, and he's got a piece that went up yesterday that's kind of just sort of a state of the union of the Rockets offseason, where they're at with signing their own free agents. Obviously, the Rockets are going to be involved in any they're going to get brought up in any trade talks by outsiders. You know, they're going to be on every odds board for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kevin Durant and anybody else. They've got a lot of assets to deal, and they've got a championship window that they're on the entry phase of right now. So Kevin Durant, I would say, Seth, probably the most polarizing of the star players when it comes to fans. The texts that we get, or the tweets, or the interaction that we get when we mention Kevin Durant is all over the place. You know, there's people mm-hmm. who would love to have his ability to put the ball in the basket, especially late in games. There's other people who just don't want anything to do with Kevin Durant. A lot of it has to do with what you have to give up to maybe get something like that, and that's why this nugget from Kelly, I like this, and I'm all about a price. I'm a price tag guy when it comes to Durant. I'm not a don't want that guy, don't care what the price is. Kelly says this. This is not to say that the Rockets and Suns are not in communication. Oh, this is a lead off of them saying that the Rockets seem to be out on Devin Booker. So they're out on Devin Booker, and Kelly says this. This is not to say the Rockets and Suns are not in communication. On the contrary, Phoenix is aggressive in pursuit of A, trading Durant, and B, regaining full control of their draft capital, starting with the number 10 pick in next month's draft. The Rockets own a lot of the Phoenix draft capital for the next several years. Since the conclusion of the season, this is the good part, Houston has fielded several calls from Phoenix, who have since gradually lowered their asking price for Durant, sources said. There's a price where the Rockets would be interested, but with the fear of breaking up their roster for a 36-year-old coming off injury, doubt remains over a deal materializing.
Yeah, and what's Brado's name there from the covers? Is it Jason Brado?
His first name's Brad.
It is?
Yep.
Oh, so yep. What's his last name?
I don't know if he wants his last name.
He doesn't
name
have it
there.
On his Twitter profile. Yeah, no, okay, so he just calls himself Brad. So it's Brad, and he does the EAUX just for fun.
Yeah.
So Brad, Brado on X, he has a kind of bunch of counter arguments to things people commonly say about Kevin Durant. And one of the common arguments is like that, why would the Rockets trade their entire young core for him? Yes, I agree. Why would you trade your young core? This is the important thing. As you pointed out, Sean, the Suns are the ones that don't have any leverage, including that they're under the second apron tax penalty and just missed the play-in, and they have no first-round picks until the 2030s.
Yeah.
They don't have any first-round picks until the next decade. So the Rockets, who have a boatload of draft capital, like, they have some ability to do this potentially without having to give up their young core.
Yeah.
The other one is, you know, that just simply Durant is old, which is true. I don't know where I am on this one, because Brad says it's his 12th straight year averaging 25 points. That's the most in NBA on a 60% efficiency or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the most in NBA history. But the fact does remain that he is 37 years old. I guess that's where I at some point, he's not going to be that productive until he's 45. And 37, it's hard to find guys that stay in their prime much beyond the age of 37. You find it more frequently than you used to, but that's my biggest reservation. But if you're not giving up any of your young current core and you're just giving up draft picks, I don't worry about it as much.
Yeah, I am. It's interesting. There are obviously young core members that I am more willing to deal than others.
Yeah.
I am open to a Kevin Durant trade that involves Jalen Green. I am open to. I'm not as far on the Jalen Green train as some are, and the organization is all the way in on Jalen Green, it feels like. I don't think the organization would do a deal involving Jalen Green for Kevin Durant. And I'm not saying I want to do a deal with Jalen Green and three other guys from the young core. Jalen Green, Jabari, Tari, the 10th pick in the draft, and two more pick swaps. I don't want to do that. I like what Kelly is saying here, because it feels like you're getting to a stage here with a deal for Kevin Durant where it's starting to get into the price range where I've got the appetite for it. Now, the other thing that needs to be pointed out, not to get too contract nerdy, but the salaries need to match up within a certain percent.
Uh-huh.
So you're probably having to give up maybe Dylan Brooks and a couple of the young guys just to make the salaries match. If Jalen Green's not going to be involved, or Fred VanVleet's not going to be involved, that's another thing Kelly says in here, is that Fred VanVleet coming back is all but a certainty that he's going to be back. So you're going to have to send some stuff out just to match Durant's massive salary that he has.
With Jalen Green, I think that at least where I've settled in is that, yes, he obviously has a lot of value as a basketball player, sure. Obviously. And if you read too much or accurately into whatever you want to call it, maybe if you're reading too much perhaps into his playoff performance, at least where he is right now is that, yes, he's a very good basketball player, but when teams really focus their attention on him, he's not the great one that can rise above it. Yeah. But I don't, I feel like you can miss me with the whole he's only 23 argument because he's been in the NBA for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's not like some level of physical maturity you're hoping for or something. Sean, it wasn't like when Doogie Howser killed a patient, somebody would walk in and be like, oh, don't worry.
Yeah.
He's only 17.
Right.
That's a thing. It's going to take him time.
He's like,
You're there. You've been a doctor for as long as you've been a doctor, Doogie Howser. These deaths are unacceptable. Okay?
Yeah. I didn't know we'd get a Doogie Howser comp today. I like that.
I almost called him Doogie Howard because I think I blended him with Dwight
with
Howard.
Dwight Howard.
In my mind, yeah.
Text message coming in. Hard pass on Durant. A text message, as soon as Durant got here, that's when his decline would begin. Jalen Green is progressing. I'd rather see where that goes and leads this next year than get Durant. Green for Giannis, maybe. I would rather everybody stay together. We just add through the draft. Here's the problem with adding through the draft. You just drafted Reed Shepard with the 3rd overall pick, and he was an afterthought this year. You can only have so many of these guys. Like that's
There's no like it's not like the D League isn't like the minor leagues or something where you can just stockpile these guys and just keep them for. The nice thing about the minor leagues is that those guys, you've got control of them forever. You don't have control of these draft picks for all that long.
No.
And if there's no way for them to develop, it doesn't it really doesn't do a whole lot for you. If you feel good about the developmental upside of the young guys on your team,
yeah,
extra draft picks really don't do a whole lot for you
because
there's no playing time to be had.
Nope. And the draft happens before free agency, so you don't have a real good grasp on if you're looking for, hey, you know what, we're a really good team. We do have the 10th pick. We can't unload it to anybody. So let's find maybe a rookie that can fill a need for us for 15 or 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
You haven't even gone shopping in free agency yet, so it's difficult. I'm at the point now with all these draft picks, I'm like, they ain't getting on the floor, man. Use them to go get something that can help you win a championship next year.
I'm just sitting there thinking of how jealous I am of the way baseball is. Because people look at the average salary of baseball players and everything and try to act like it's so much worse than football or what have you. Dude, the fact that you can get drafted in the first round and maybe not be a free agent for another decade, like that's so much control the team has. But as a fan, you know how nice it would be that if like, you get a young guy that maybe isn't ready to go or something, and you just don't even start the clock on his free agency for 3 or 4
There's
years.
There's no service time glitches in the NBA. Like, you draft a guy.
Like Blake Fisher, you know, like, maybe he should have waited a year. He's kind of developmental. That's all right. We'll send him down to Corpus for 3 years.
Corpus
and
football.
And then we'll start the clock on his free agency.
The NFL? That would be almost cruel in the NFL. Because the punishment you're taking in the minor leagues in the NFL is going to hurt just as much as the punishment you're taking in the NFL. One thing to play a bunch of baseball games.
ACL's waiting for my service time to begin.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Okay, into the 8 o'clock hour. I saw what you guys played yesterday, Seth, for the Pettycast. There is one, if you'll indulge me, there's one of these takes I have not heard yet. That I've been very anxious to hear. Yeah.
It's got a Boston bent to it.
Yeah,
as well.
It does. And I think I would feel very petty over what I'm about to hear. So I do want to revisit one of these, and we'll do that coming up next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com.
and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.